Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 149, Teen and Adult Challenge Center bonus episode. Guest speaker Andy Collins shared this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana on September 27th, 2020.
This morning we have a special guest, and I want to welcome Andy Collins from Elkhart to come. He's going to speak to us a little bit about what God is leading them to do here in Fort Wayne. And those of you who are on Facebook Live, don't go away because this is going to be good. We want to see our community lifted up, and we want to see great things happen in our community. He represents Adult and Teen Challenge and comes from Elkhart, where they have a center. And they're going to be coming over to Fort Wayne to help us, and he's going to be sharing with you some of those things. So, Andy, would you come and share with us? Praise the Lord. And at the end, after he speaks, we want to receive also an offering for him, so you can be thinking and praying about as he speaks, you know, how God would use you to help that effort. Because obviously all of you know that it costs money to do anything these days. And sometimes we don't think about, you know, our investment. But if we're investing in our community, it's good for everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you can be praying about that. And if God, however God leads you, is fine. It'll be good. Praise the Lord. Here's Andy.
Thank you so much, Pastor Harley. We appreciate the opportunity to be here. I have a couple friends with me as well today, and Brian and Tyler, and you'll be hearing a little bit from them in just a couple minutes. But excuse me. First of all, Ellie, thank you. My wife and children, I don't know if they're still watching at this point. As soon as I came up, they might have tuned back out. But she said she could hear me laughing in the corner over one of the things you said. But the reality is that if Pastor Harley would have been with me yesterday, he might have not allowed me to have the mic today. And I have confession is good for the soul. I don't see a confessional around here. Father Harley, right? Well, no. But the reality is yesterday, so I have to just share this. I'm at my son's soccer game. And my little guy is just an awesome little soccer player. This is the year he's really learning, and it's a fun, he's 10 years old. And so it's a fun age. And, but there is these man childs on the other team. I don't know. They're supposed to be 10 years old, but they're massive. And it's like, they're playing the Giants literally. And this one kid, you know, just kept tripping my son, and I'd see him go flying, and I watched it a couple times, and now I'm a Christian man, but I'm a dad. And the ref, I don't know what the whistle he thought was for. He's supposed to use it, but he wasn't. So I made my way over to him on the sideline and reminded him what the whistle was for. I can't believe I did that. And then I went back to my seat, and my heart was beating a little bit because I'm not good at confrontation. And all of a sudden, a man with a yellow shirt came up to me. And apparently, this is one of the board members of the soccer complex. And he informed me that it was not my job to go holler at the ref, that he would take care of that. And I said, yes, sir, I'll sit down. And I was that dad yesterday. So Ellie, thank you. And then my family decides to go to grab a little something to eat later on. And this is, I'm not making this up. This is a true story. Speak of tacos, right? You spoke of tacos earlier. Yeah. Well, so we decided to go get some tacos last night. And we pulled in the drive-thru, which is a one-lane drive-thru. You don't have the opportunity. Once you're in it, you're in it. So we ordered our food, and we didn't order our food. We waited a long time to get to our food. And I just, to the place where we could order, and I remember, and I'm not making this up. I would not lie, and especially here at my father's house. Okay. I didn't realize how long it had been, but I looked and I thought, man, I sent a text to somebody since I've been in the drive-thru line, and it was at 8:25 p.m., I can tell you exactly, and it was like 8:50, and we still hadn't even made it to the window yet. Well, that's not that bad. It was 9:15, and we still hadn't made it to the window yet. And I'm trapped. I can't go anywhere. I have two children that I cannot put in bed. My wife, we brought the dog because we thought it would just be a few minutes. So we have a dog, my two children. And finally, I'm not kidding, an hour after we got into the drive-through line, 1 hour, I got out of the car. I had anxiety going on. I had all sorts of stuff going on. And again, I'm a Christian man, but at this point, I felt like I needed to fight for my family or something, you know? So I went up and I peeked into the window, and I see two employees sitting there leaning on the counter laughing with each other and all this. And I'm going, oh, no, 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 no. You know, I look back and I see somebody, you know, very unmotivated, putting a taco together. And I thought, okay, this is the real problem here. And I'm sure they're short-staffed and whatnot. So I finally knocked on the window and I said, excuse me, sir, 1 hour, 1 hour. And he's like, what? I can't hear you. 1 hour. So he comes. He finally sticks his head out the window. And he's like, how can I help you? And I said, sir, I'm stuck. I cannot back out. I can't go anywhere. We ordered food an hour ago. Or no, we didn't. We've been here for a whole hour. We just want some tacos. We just want to go home, you know? And he's like, oh, sir, I don't know. I said, I'm trapped. I can't even go anywhere. He said, well, I could try to get some cars out of the way for you so you can get out. And man, I really wish that I could get you through the line. And here comes my tongue, Ellie. I said, you know how you get cars through the line? You make food. You make food, and then cars go through the line. I said it with a smile. I didn't come here to tell on myself, but confession is good for the soul. Thank you. So this message, give me some of this. Very, very pertinent. Very, very pertinent for me in light of last night. My wife, if she's still watching, is probably mortified that I've shared all of this and not talked about Adult and Teen Challenge. But I had to. I said, why? You weren't in the car last night. I know you weren't, but yeah, he knows. He knows. I did not have a good day yesterday. Anyways, but his mercies are made new every morning. And you know what? I'd be honest with you. The first time I came, so I just met Pastor Harley, I don't know, a month ago, 6 weeks, I don't know. I lose track of time anymore. I'm over 40 now. So, but the first time I met him, I just thought, oh, I just knew I was in the presence of Jesus. I'm not kidding. I don't say that as flattery. I just felt like I was in the presence of a man of God. And we spent good time together. I was sharing about the ministry. And I just, honestly, I just wanted it to end so that he could pray over me. That's what I wanted in my heart. I'm being honest. I just wanted you to pray over me. I felt like it was like a father in the faith moment where I just wanted you to pray over me. And I didn't want to talk about Teen Challenge anymore. So this morning, I'm getting ready to come here to this place. And I felt like after my day yesterday, I felt very unqualified. I felt very humbled in a sense to come to here to my father's house. And I just prayed a little prayer to the Lord and just thanked him. And I said, God, I don't know why you choose us. Sometimes I wouldn't choose me, but I know your ways are perfect. And he's such a gracious father. He's so forgiving. And so this morning, before I came here, I made some things right, and I just wanted to get my heart ready, and I just want to share a few minutes. First of all, my name is Andy Collins. Again, I serve as the executive director of Adult and Teen Challenge in Elkhart. I have a testimony. I have a story, like many of our men do. I graduated Dallas Teen Challenge in 2009, 2010. I moved to Elkhart, Indiana to help open up what is now known as Adult and Teen Challenge of Northern Indiana. Years before that, I was lost in addiction. I was homeless on the streets of Dallas-Fort Worth. I was messed up in more ways than you can imagine. And I just experienced the grace of God. I experienced the tangible presence of Jesus in a real relationship with Holy Spirit that changed me from the inside out. Mostly, my tongue is still a work in progress, apparently. Oh, Lord. Why of all days did you have to talk about that? It's too fresh in my mind. It's too fresh. No self-righteousness here today. Let me tell you what. Thank you, Lord. But God is so good. He's so, so good. And just by a show of hands, how many of you have heard of Adult and Teen Challenge or Teen Challenge Ministry? Yeah, so a handful of you. That's neat. So what we are is really, to sum it up, we believe that life transformation happens. We believe that Jesus is enough to turn a life around. We believe the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, is simply put as Jesus plus nothing. Jesus doesn't need any help. Amen. And so when we look at a man that comes through the doors of our center, whether he's 19 or whether he's 59, whatever, close enough. The answer is the same. Jesus is enough, right? And the world right now is firmly believes that you know, Jesus needs help, that we actually need long term, that we're always going to have to identify ourselves as addicts, and that, you know, we're never quite going to get that full deliverance. And the enemy loves to put labels on foreheads, does he not? He loves to tell you, you're broken, you're damaged, you'll never be enough, you're never going to get over this. You will always have to identify yourself as an addict. And that struggle, that sin, that besetting sin, or that thing that you just struggled with for years, that will always mark you. It will always be your reality. And we know once you've tasted the freedom in Jesus, you know that's not the truth. You know that God is who he says he is, and he frees us. He truly, truly frees us. So we also believe that, you know, discipleship is not something from the old school. I'm old school too. I use paper all the time, right? But Jesus and discipleship isn't old school. We know that a lot of churches, unfortunately, have gone away from that. They've tried to do some other things. And when I spoke with Pastor Harley that day, what I loved is his heart for discipleship. You could tell that there's a culture here. I walked into this room, I didn't see any of you. It was a Thursday or something like that. But I could tell there was a culture of discipleship here. Just bore witness in my spirit. And I tell you, that is the essence of who we are. So we are a long term. I'll share with you our mission statement. It's the longest mission statement on the face of the earth. It's like 50 some words. But hang in there with me real quick, because it describes everything in a nutshell. But our mission statement is simply this: to provide adult men an effective and comprehensive Christian faith-based. It's crazy that we have to identify what faith we are, but we do. It's Christian faith-based. A Christian faith-based solution to life-controlling drug and alcohol problems in order to become productive members of society. By applying biblical principles, Teen Challenge endeavors to help people become mentally sound, emotionally balanced, socially adjusted, physically well. And the last one is the most important, because it holds all the other ones together. It's spiritually alive. Life comes from the Spirit. Life comes from God himself. He's the author of life. He's the renewer of life. He speaks, he breathes on dead things and they come to life. And there's no better picture of something dead than an addict, someone who's just completely consumed with serving self. And so our mission statement is that there's three factors that the U.S. government, there's an agency out of Washington, D.C., not a faith-based agency out of Washington, D.C., that did a study not too long ago, the NIDA. It's the National Institute of Drug Awareness or Agency, something like that. I get confused on what the A is, but either way. It's irrelevant. At the end of the day, they did a study of what factors were present for the highest rate of rehabilitation for addicts. They wanted to know, what does it look like? What environments is most conducive to life change? How, you know, where are people getting it the most? You have to understand that the world, when I say the world, I mean everything not faith-based, Christ faith-based. is operating around a 7 to, any, I'm sorry, from a 3 to the highest you might find is 11% of rehabilitation rate, success rate. 3 to 11. So that's one, I mean, that's 10 out of 100, maybe 3 out of 100, 5 out of 100 people that will walk through a government program will actually get rid of the drugs and the alcohol. That's not a high success rate. And yet billions of dollars are funneled into these things year after year. So I'm glad that somebody in Washington, D.C. decided to do this study. Hey, what factors are most present? And you know what they came up with? This is so interesting. They came up with three factors. One, residential. In other words, the more you're in that environment, saturated, the better the chance of turning around. Number two, long-term. In other words, the 30, 60, 90 days. Go figure, an addict wants a quick fix out of addiction. Wow. Right? 30, 60, 90 days is what most people want. 7 days, 30 days, $30,000, smoke some ciggies down by the beach in Florida. Sounds like a great time. And somehow your addiction is supposed to go away. Doesn't work. So long-term, residential, and the third one that they came up with was faith-based. And Adult and Teen Challenge checks all those three boxes. We're a 12 to 18 month ministry from front to back. Our curriculum is only Bible-based. We do not mix and mingle with other things out there. Our curriculum is solely built over the last 62 years. How many of y'all have heard of David Wilkerson, Reverend David Wilkerson? Okay, he's the founding father of the ministry, right? He started it not in a boardroom, not because there was a need. There was a need, but not just because of that. That wasn't what compelled him, what drove him to obey the Lord. It was simply in the prayer closet, interceding. And he caught the heart of God. He heard from the Lord, and he decided to act on it. And what he did was he actually, how many of y'all have one of these things in your home? Raise your hands. Okay, there we go. How many of y'all turn it on? Only three of you. Okay, yeah, right. Good. Good. I'm kidding. I'm not here to scold you. Listen. David Wilkerson had one too. And he decided that he was spending a little bit too much time in front of it. And the Lord kind of leaned in on him. This is where you step on some toes sometimes when I share this part of the story. It's true. The Lord leaned in on him and he said, hey, why don't you give me that same time that you're putting in front of that TV. And he estimated it to be around 2 hours a day. Now, this is 62 years ago, okay? 63 years ago, probably. So I can't imagine. I mean, even I Love Lucy, like, you know, Ricky and Lucy, they didn't even sleep in the same bed on TV. They had single beds. I mean, everything was so much cleaner and moral and whatever. So I'm sure he wasn't watching filth, but nonetheless, it was just time, entertainment that he was not. And the Lord said, sell your TV and give me that time. So he put an ad in the paper. That was the Craigslist of the day or the Facebook marketplace of the day. And it was in the 11th hour. It was in the last few minutes of that allotted time. He kind of put a fleece out before the Lord, right? Like we would, like, God, I don't think this is you, but if it is, you know, let it happen by such and such time. And honestly, and God showed up in that time, right at the last few minutes. There it goes. Knock on the door. And it was somebody, hey, I saw the ad in the paper. I'm here for the TV. Okay, God, I guess it was you. And he began to pray 2 hours a day. And it was in that time, y'all say 19 days? 19 days is what it took the Lord to get through to him that he was to go to New York City and go help them boys. Y'all know the Holy Spirit speaks English, right? Just go help them boys. Yeah, he didn't say hence, for, thither, yonder. Just go. Help them, boys, seriously. And you know what? The pure DNA of Teen Challenge is what we strive to adhere to this day. 62 years later, there's 1,500 centers in the world, over 250 now in this country, from everything from adolescent boys, adolescent girls, adult men, adult women. There's all sorts of different kinds out there. But You know, we, the Pure DNA of Teen Challenge, baptized in the Holy Spirit, characterized by the miraculous, you know, filled with faith, sustained by God's grace, you know, birthed in prayer. That's the first one. That's where everything is birthed, that really makes a difference in this world. Amen. And you want to see power in the kingdom of God, it's got to be birthed in prayer. It's got to be saturated in that. And so anyways, there's a whole lot I could share about that. I will tell you this. I do have on the table back there, I've asked permission, and we have some flyers. That one is Fort Wayne Recovery House. That, guys, is on the way, okay? I won't share too much for time's sake, but I went to a prayer cabin a few years ago. And this is, it's hard to sum up a long God story in just a handful of minutes, but or moments, but I really walked away from that experience. I went for a couple days to this cabin, and I walked away from there with a map of Indiana drawn out. And we had our center in the state, we had our center, our specific residential home, our Teen Challenge, was in the middle of the state in the north part. Our administrative office was pretty much south of there, just outside of Indianapolis. I was praying, and I felt God wanted us to open up a center on the west side of the state and on the east side of the state. And after I drew and connected the dots, it made a cross over the state of Indiana. And I just felt like the Lord confirmed in that moment that the state, he wanted to own the state of Indiana for his glory, for his name. And he was going to redeem addicts by the power of his love and by his grace. And he was going to do that. But he needed somebody to go and open these houses. And again, the most unlikely candidates at times are the one that God's uses, right? Just the ones who are crazy enough to say yes. Amen? That's really what it is. But we can't do this alone. We need your prayers. We need your support. We need your help. I've known the first, we got the Jasper County Recovery House opened up in 2018 on the west side of the state, a rural home and about an hour south of Chicago land and, you know, Hammond, Gary, that whole area, just less than an hour south of there in the farmhouse. And it's just an amazing experience to go and get away from the city, get away from the lights and sit in a house where there's just a handful of staff who've all been delivered from addiction and are all walking this out. And you know, just loving the men. After a season, they transition to Elkhart and they resume their training there. The same thing is coming to Fort Wayne. And it's such an awesome, I love God's stories. I tell God all the time, I say, God, you need to confirm these things because, see, I'm not good enough. No one needs the Andy story here. We don't want that. We don't have time for that. We need your story here. And the day that I came to meet with Pastor Harley, it was so interesting. Like, I kind of shared just the ends of my heart where I just wanted to pray over me and just pray over this ministry. Is what I didn't want to talk about Teen Challenge too much, to be honest. I just wanted to pray and agree in the Spirit that God was going to do something here. And I have to share the larger part of the story, but, you know, Pastor Harley, at the end of our time together, not only did he pray, but he pointed at this little house over here. And he just said, I don't know what the chances are, but, you know, as I was driving in, I looked at that house that's right behind us, right here, like literally right there. And I looked at this house and I could not take my eyes off it. I couldn't take my eyes off it. I thought, what is that? Does anybody live there? You know, what it looks like a big old something, an add-on over the years. Like, what is that? You know, but it captivated me. And I couldn't take my eyes off it. I'm driving up. Thank God it's not a road. It's just a driveway, a dirt road here. Because I couldn't take my eyes off it. And I just didn't know what it was. Well, after our time together, he said, here, come outside. I want to point at something. And he just pointed and he showed me the house. And he said, yeah, I was looking at that on the way in. I didn't know what that is. But he gave me a name, a number, and a name later on, and I've made contact with these people. We're going to look at it this Thursday. This Thursday. Now, here's what I don't know. I don't know. Do you want me to be real with you? I have $3,000 in our bank for Fort Wayne Teen Challenge. They want a little bit more than that. Okay? Just a little bit more. And so... But I don't worry about those things because I know that God and his sovereignty and what he knows, he's going to bring all these things to pass. We just need a home. I already have staff willing to move. I have a husband and wife said, tell us when we get the U-Haul, we're going. We feel the call to Fort Wayne and it burns within them. So I drove away from this I drove away. After I left here, I went into that driveway, looked at the property for a minute, and I just felt like I was standing on something that was powerful. And I, as I drove away from there, I sent this picture of this property to our staff. And I said, tell me what you see. And he says, I'm in love. That's what he said. He said, I'm in love. He said, have you sent that picture to my wife yet? And I'm thinking, no, that's probably your job, you know? She is our administrative assistant, though, over Fort Wayne, over the Fort Wayne project. So it would make sense that I could have sent her a picture. But what I didn't know is that when I was here visiting Pastor Harley, that they were fasting and praying. I didn't know this. They were fasting and praying that that by the end of that week, which actually now I remember it was a Friday when we met. It was a Friday afternoon at like 1 or 2 p.m. That at the end of that week, we would have identified a property for Fort Wayne Recovery House. And here it is, Friday at 2 o'clock, and I'm driving away from meeting with him, looking at this house going, God, what are you doing here? And here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't know if it's there or not. I'm wanting to say that God has kind of shown us a few things here. I don't want to presume anything. I just want to trust the Lord. But there's so much more to the story that I don't have time to share with you today, but I pray we'll be back at some point and just share some things of what God is doing. But we have people ready to move. There's people here in this city who right now have a needle in their arm. They're drinking their life away. They're smoking it away. They're on the collision course with an eternal destiny of hell as we speak. And it is scary. It is scary. And God began dealing with me when I was praying into Fort Wayne. Not that it would be, I made a few phone calls and I wasn't getting phone calls back. And I got a little frustrated at first. And I thought, God, what are you doing? I thought you wanted us to do something in Fort Wayne. And he wouldn't let me move until I gained his heart for this city. And the Holy Spirit asked me one day, he said, have you wept over Fort Wayne yet? And I wept at the rebuke, and then I wept eventually for the people in Fort Wayne. He said, this is not a business plan. This is not the next step of a business plan. These are my children. These are my sons. These are my eventual daughters. And you know, at the end of the day, this is not just the next step for you. You need to honor me in that. So listen, I want to read a passage, and then I'm going to invite my brothers up here, and then we'll be done. I've explained a little bit what we are. We have, you know, work department in the morning that helps not only keep the men busy, teach them work ethic, but also help offset our operational costs. Companies can hire our men, and we work almost like a temp agency, sort of, although it's a lot different than that. But in the afternoons, we study. We're in the classroom. This is where the discipleship happens. This is where a lot of the renewing of the mind happens, right? You talk about Joyce Meyer earlier, battlefield of the mind, you know, and some of those agreements and things that we've made. And that's where Jesus comes in through the curriculum and really helps set a man free as well. Teaches them to take responsibility for their life, because you know that in this day and age that we live in, everyone has an excuse why they're something. And so at the end of the day, though, some of those pains and traumas from childhood are valid. If we continue to use them as a crutch through life, then we're never going to move forward. And Jesus wants to heal those areas. He's healer, right? He's restorer of the broken. And then in the evenings, we either do chapels or we do sports nights or we do community service projects. We go do evangelism. There's just a lot of things. That's kind of the program in a quick little nutshell there. But thank you for your prayers. I shared a little bit logistics of this. I want to share just from the word who we are. Out of Isaiah 61. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon this ministry. Okay, I'm going to take a little bit of liberty. I know who we're talking about in the scripture. We're talking about King Jesus, amen? But King Jesus is the one who is the front and center, the one who's honored, the one who's asked for to operate at this ministry. And so the Spirit of the Lord God is upon Adult and Teen Challenge. It's upon the ministry of the Fort Wayne Recovery House, because the Lord has anointed us to preach good tidings to the poor. when men come through our doors, not only are they poor in the realms of poverty, they're poor in their perspective, they're poor in their spirit. They're not the right kind of poverty of spirit, but the wrong kind, you know. They have no perspective, they have no faith in God. They're poor in their trust issues, they're poor in their health, they're poor in their mind, they're poor in so many ways. And Jesus, in this reprieve from the rat race and from the chasing and from the running, there's a proverb that says the wicked flee though no one pursues. I can't find a better proverb that encapsulates the mind and the heart, the attitude of an addict, of a meth addict especially, you know, constantly on the run, though potentially no one might actually be pursuing. And so we see this. It says to preach good tidings to the poor, that you can rest, you can sit in his presence and receive the healing. You can receive your identity, you can know who you are. It says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, those that are discouraged through life and have been beat down by sin and by, you know, being in that, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Hallelujah. Liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And that's literal and figurative. I've been in front of judges before and men who were facing, I had one man who was facing 80 years that I've known who's the judges released him. I've had other men who are looking at 10 to 12 years in prison. I've stood in courtrooms next to men who are looking at a judge, and I had to swear in and do the same. And the judge, I've literally heard the judge say, I don't know why I'm doing this. This goes against my better judgment, but I'm going to court order you to Teen Challenge instead of going back to prison. Hallelujah. To open up prison doors. Then there's obviously the internal prisons that we live in when we're living in deception and bondage and addiction. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Our ministry's a year long, typically 12 to 15 months. It's a year that we give to the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. Trees, oaks. Listen, I'm gonna be very excited to come back someday and share what the Lord is doing and has done since this day here. That is, if he'd have me, he might ask me how my day before went. But the next time, right, Pastor Harley? If they would have me back, let me say that. I don't want to presume. I would love to share what God is doing, but we need your prayer. So here's what I want to do. I want Tyler to come up here. Tyler, Tyler's going to share what we call reality is. Parents, I just want to tell you, it's hard to clean up addiction for a Sunday morning. We do our best, but sometimes there's some real language that comes up, and not bad language, but just real topics for discussion. If it's a time you don't feel comfortable, you know, you could come out and come back in, or just understand that, you know, we do the best we can to try to get it to where we understand and can connect with emotionally what goes on in an addict's life. I just have to share that. But Tyler's an awesome miracle. God has set him free. He's on the course of ministry. And it's just so awesome to see the child that came to us and the man who stands before you today. So share with us real quick.
What is reality? Reality is neglecting your family for years because you'd rather get high than see your loved ones. It's harming yourself because you're overwhelmed with the feelings of depression and guilt. It's introducing drugs to others, even your girlfriend, causing her to overdose. And because you couldn't care less, you instantly do another line. It's finally making it to college, only to be there 3 months before you attempt suicide in your dorm room. It's waking up in jail, not knowing how you got there, only to realize that you're now facing 3 felonies for the drugs you try to kill yourself with. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me. And even though we've all had different realities, we've all been changed by the same truth. And the truth is, I rededicated my life to Jesus Christ, and my whole perspective has changed. I can no longer wait to see my family next, and I value every moment I spend with them. The truth is, I no longer harm myself, but I see those scars as a testimony of the time God saved me from myself, freed me from my addiction, and made me a new creation. The truth is, I no longer introduce others to drugs, but I now introduce them to the love of Jesus Christ. Truth is, because of God's mercy, I'm receiving one misdemeanor instead of three felonies, and I'll be able to live the rest of my life righteously for Him. And the truth is, I'm no longer suicidal and weighed down by my depression, but I now know that I have a purpose in Christ Jesus, an experience of peace and joy I've never felt before. The verse I stand on. The verse I stand on is Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to save and to seek the lost. I stand on this verse because I felt completely lost and hopeless to my addiction. I felt like there was no way out, and God brought me to Teen Challenge to renew my relationship with Him. Thank you.
Amen. Tyler, real quick, hold on. Do you want to tell us what your plans are? And again, these are your plans, right? We're still asking the Lord to, I think, where you feel He's leading you, and what does that look like for your future?
Teen Challenge, we have a Victory House for the last 6 months of the program.
It's like a halfway house.
Yeah. Yep. We work and we still live for Christ. They teach us how to do that. And I feel led to do that for 3 months before going to YWAM. I really feel called to go to YWAM and do the worship school. I'm not sure on the location. I'm still praying into that. But
Australia,
I'm looking into Australia. Yeah, with Sunday Australia. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's all I know so far.
Amen. Hey, would you do me a favor? Would you, if some of you praying ladies, because I know there's some praying ladies in this house, and nothing against the men, you can pray too. But somehow God just listens to women more. I don't know why, but no, I don't think that's accurate. It's not theologically accurate. But listen, I ask at our Teen Challenge a lot of times, hey, how many of y'all are products of a praying mom or grandma? And almost 100% hands go up. I'm not kidding. There's something about it. I think God just can't say no to y'all. And so if you would write Tyler's name down somewhere, amen, and just lift him up, that God would continue to direct the steps. It says the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. We don't just pick what we do with our life. It's God who directs them. So amen. Love you, brother. Thank you. Guys, I've gone over my time. Can we have one more? Can we have Brian share real quick? Is that okay, Pastor? Okay, Brian, come on up here.
We got all day.
Till four. That's right. It's not even one yet, or maybe till noon. Yeah.
We're real good.
Don't tell him that, though. This guy's got a call to preach, and so we could be here till six. Amen. No, but share real quick.
Praise the Lord, saints. First and foremost, I just want to give God honor for allowing me to be able to stand here in the presence of my brothers and sisters and speak on His goodness about me as a miracle. My name's Brian Miller, 58 years old, born in Elkhart, and two words can sum my life up: disobedience and obedience. And I want to give you just a little look where my disobedience took me. Because for 57 years, I walked in disobedience. And it led me, well, let me say this. One thing God put on my heart that I know is that when you run from something, you automatically run to something, not knowing, especially when you're in your disobedience. So let me be careful because I'll start preaching. So let me back and personalize this thing again. So while I was running in my disobedience, it looked like this. The first thing I ran from was my family, who God, we know, instituted the family. And that's the most sacred thing on this earth, is our family, so we could pass on what God wants us to give us to our children and everything else. And I ran from that. Then I ran from drugs, to drugs. Now, that sounds crazy, but I knew what drugs would do. And I've always steered away from that. But in my disobedience, in me self-seeking and in my self-will, it led me to the drugs. And that led me to prisons. Prisons. You hear? I had a life of different buildings. I probably gave solitary lockup time probably about 12, 14 years of my life. Yeah. And just to share this little bit, I was raised a Christian. You know, my legacy is I had 9 great uncles that were pastors. I had a grandfather that was a pastor. I got an uncle that was a pastor. My mother was a very righteous woman. My grandmother, very righteous and devout woman of God. So my heritage and my lifestyle growing up, there's no excuse. Self-will and disobedience, you know. But thanks be to God. Amen. You know, and I can't say that enough because I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for my disobedience. So I say thanks be to God. Now the obedience part, now remember I said 57 years. I'm 58. But I got more to talk about in this last year than I can in all my 57 years. And I thank God for that. Because every morning I wake up, I thank Sister Ellie for that breath about this thing. You know, because he's helping me control this and only speak what he wants me to speak of life, not death no more, but of life, to speak something of somebody's life. So I give thanks because now I get to speak and give him glory of my own life today. And I'm going to give you one story because otherwise we won't make it back to Elkhart or everything else. We'll probably have to get some new batteries. You know what I'm saying? That's how much God put in my heart now about his goodness and showing me how to love, you know, and care and become that person. I mean, on the way up here, quick rabbit hole, talking to Brother Andy, and he gave me a word, see. And he said, you can only go as far as you can see. And remember when they sent the spies out, how the 10 came back with an evil report. But 2 said, no, we can take that. We can go. But the 10 said, we saw ourselves. And just in this last month, God did something to my heart. So now I can see myself crossing over. I could see myself going to possess that he called me to be. You know, even said even before he knew me in my mother's womb, he called me already to be over there. And now in my obedience, God is teaching me how to step and dry that river up so I don't sink in the mud no more. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, Holy Spirit. that's the Holy Spirit, you know. But the story I want to tell you real quick is this. Through all my 30-some years of addiction, I know it's been God that's been watching me because I should be dead. If I would have gave my reality is, you would have heard about the guns being put to my head. You would have heard about all these other things that only the power of God was in my life because the trigger didn't get pulled. And for 30-some years of my life, I should have been jumped on. Should have been beat up. There's some punishment in that dope game that I should have received, that I saw 1,000 people that it happened to, but it never happened to me. I mean, now I don't have any hair right now, but if I did, I just one little strand never got touched on my body. Now, here's the beauty of God. Me and my brother are in our mess because that's when God shows up, when you're in your mess. And we're in our mess and we're doing our drugs. And the lighter stopped. So I fill the lighter up. I'm filling the lighter up with lighter fluid. And I overflow it. And this fluid is just pouring all down on the floor. Now mind you, I'm not in my right mind. So that doesn't even constitute to me. So I'm steadily squeezing the bottle. And this stuff is just dripping. It's all on my hand and everything. And the next thing I know, my brother reaches forward. He calls himself getting rid of the fluid. He set this hand on fire. And if you want to expect it and look at it, God is so good, because I have blisters over this whole hand. I got two little scars that you really have to look, and if you just look at it, you just think, oh, no, maybe that's an age spot. You know, that's how good God is. But I can remember as soon as my hand caught on fire, I screamed out, and the first word came out of my mouth, Jesus. But one of the worst things that can happen to a person is when they don't hear from God. When you can't hear him. And for all them years, I walked without being able to hear. But when my hand caught on fire, I heard something. And this is exactly what I heard. How much more must I do to get your attention? I've done that already. This is the second thing. You set yourself on fire. That's the warning. You know judgment comes. And I cried. But they weren't tears of agony. It was tears of joy. Because I heard my father. And my brother's on the couch. And he's over there going crazy because he set me on fire. And now, here's where the peace come in. And it ain't nothing but God. I look at him and say, Lamont, it's okay. Because I heard him. And I'm going to be obedient now. And there he is. I came to Teen Challenge. Made a phone call that next day. And you see. All the other things doesn't matter no more. You still see. And that's all that matters. That in obedience, we just continue to go forward. And my life right now, it's so good because all the things in that disobedience that I done, when I'm not looking for it, just doing what God called me to do, learn of him, open up my heart, and love on others. God gave me back my daughters who I gave away willfully. Yeah. So I have a relationship now with my daughters, and I'm going to leave it just at that because the story isn't ended. The book ain't finished. I'm just living a whole nother chapter of my life, and I know it gets better and better. I can't wait till we get to the climax of this thing, and that'll be when I get to open my eyes and see him in heaven. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what I live for today. You know? So if I believe we're going to be staying for a while.
I think so.
And if we are, if you want to get more intimate about this thing, and I got a whole lot more I can share with you. So God bless you. Thank you.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you. Hey, this guy also, I don't want to share anything personal that the Lord is doing in him, but he just shared with me the other day just a God-sized dream that God deposited in his heart, and it's big. It's really big. And I believe that, you know, from last year when you decided to take steps in obedience, mm-hmm. that he's finally going to be able to do what he's wanted to do with you in a long time. And I think he's going to continue that legacy, that heritage of preachers in the family and ministers. And you're going to reach the broken. Amen. Amen. So thank you, Brian.
Yes,
love
sir.
You, brother. Amen. Yes, amen. Hey, I'm going to pass this off, but please visit our table. We have one of our older newsletters. We have a newer publication I didn't bring with me today, but you are welcome to take a condensed copy of The Cross and the Switchblade as long as supplies last. If Ellie doesn't take them all before you. Yeah, right? No. Grab one of our informational flyers. Listen, I call these a lifeline as well. You never know. Everybody knows somebody who knows somebody. It's either family, neighbor, coworker. And if you don't know anybody yet, I don't know what world you live in. You might need to get out of the church for a minute. Amen. And interact with some real people. But I'm just kidding. But you get what I'm saying. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, obviously. At the end of the day, our mandate is, I call these a lifeline sometimes. So grab one, put it in your car, in the glove box, put one on your office desk, put one on your refrigerator. Don't only just, you know, as you see it, pray for us. But also if that phone call comes your way and someone says, hey, what do you know? I got somebody in addiction. Boom, quick, throw them our information. We're still in the process of getting a phone number and a P.O. box for Fort Wayne yet. Obviously, a location is pretty important in that stuff. And so we're solidifying those details. But at the end of the day, I also have my business, my personal business card on the back of that table. Grab one as well. And you're welcome to call me anytime to encourage or pray or share something. Or if you have a need, I'd love to help you. So, guys, thank you for being gracious with your time. I know we've gone over, but can't wait to come back again someday. Potentially and share some more. So, Pastor Harley, thank you so much.
Welcome.
Yeah, appreciate it. Brother.
Bless you. Praise the Lord. We're grateful that you came today and shared those things because that's really what we're all about here. It's reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we can't go out and make disciples, then why are we here? Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.